A reading from the book of Leviticus. The Lord said to Moses, "These are the festivals of the Lord, which you shall celebrate at their proper time with a sacred assembly. The Passover of the Lord falls on the 14th day of the first month at the evening twilight. The 15th day of this month is the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first of these days you shall hold a sacred assembly and do no sort of work. On each of the 7 days you shall offer an oblation to the Lord. Then on the 7th day you shall again hold a sacred assembly and do no sort of work." The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the children of Israel and tell them, 'When you come into the land which I am giving you and reap your harvest, you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, who shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, that it may be acceptable for you. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall do this. Beginning with the day after the Sabbath, the day on which you bring the wave offering sheaf, you shall count 7 full weeks, and then on the day after the 7th week, the 50th day, you shall present the new cereal offering to the Lord. The 10th of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement, when you shall hold a sacred assembly and mortify yourselves and offer an oblation to the Lord. The 15th day of this 7th month is the Lord's Feast of Booths, which shall continue for 7 days. On the 1st day there shall be a sacred assembly, and you shall do no sort of work. For 7 days you shall offer an oblation to the Lord, and on the 8th day you shall again hold a sacred assembly and offer an oblation to the Lord. On that solemn closing, you shall do no sort of work. These, therefore, are the festivals of the Lord, on which you shall proclaim a sacred assembly and offer as an oblation to the Lord burnt offerings and cereal offerings, sacrifices and libations, as prescribed for each day." The Word of the Lord. I doubt that Leviticus is any Christian's favorite or even most familiar book in the Bible. Yet it does reflect the practices and ceremonies that evolved in Israel, touching on both daily life and the contemporary world. The book is always defending the dignity of all life, along with concern for the poor and the just distribution of this world's goods. From today's passage, several phrases, for whatever reason, called out to me for my attention. I became very aware of a kind of rhythm created by three in particular. One was, "Hold a sacred assembly," repeated 5 or 6 times. Another, "Offer an oblation," 3 or 4 times. And the third, "Do no sort of work." Again, 5 or 6 times in a relatively short passage. So hold a sacred assembly, offer an oblation, do no sort of work. Why, I asked myself, are these words resonating so strongly in me at this time? What is it they evoke? There is certainly a liturgical theme inherent in them, but there is something more. Perhaps the very repetition aroused the awareness within me of their dissonance, if you will, with so much of life in my time, in our time. The first phrase, a sacred assembly. Suggestions of community, a social reality. In contrast to values of individualism, self-reliance, an individualistic reality. Secondly, offer an oblation, suggestion of a religious liturgical ritual. In contrast to today's diminishing membership in formal or organized religion, and hence of public liturgical celebration. And finally, do no sort of work, suggestion of biblical Sabbath, the pause and rest required if one is to pray and to know God and God's work. In contrast to almost perpetual frenetic activity in this 21st century, 24/7, as we say, it's true at least here in the United States. Now, this part of Leviticus is a section of what is known as the Holiness Code. Chapters 17 to 26 describe the life of holiness in terms of the feasts of Israel. Chapter 23, from which we hear today, emphasizes the presence of the Holy One living in the midst of the people, a life of holiness in the world, a reminder that biblical religion really begins in the secular arena. It is by no means confined to ceremonies in the sanctuary. Since the repeated refrains in today's passage that I have noted strike such an emphatic chord within me, they undoubtedly proffer an invitation to me for further pondering on my part. I'm conscious, too, that the celebration of the Feast of St. Ignatius Loyola today might draw us to hear within the first reading pieces of his life's message and mission. We all know some of the well-known mottos, or at least descriptive phrases, associated with Ignatian spirituality. For example, the saying, "Finding God in all things," which is not unlike the Holy One living in the midst of the people. Or the phrase, "All for the greater glory of God," which could be a title for the whole message of this Leviticus passage. And finally, contemplatives in action, the ideal of followers of Ignatius. These words epitomize lives of holiness lived in the world, service of others flowing from Sabbath, time of rest and prayer. If we would sincerely live lives of holiness, there is here, as well as in the spirit of St. Ignatius, an invitation to reflect more on ways we might address the soul-eroding aspects of our time by ever deeper listening to the soul-enhancing song of our scriptures. And we might call on Ignatius of Loyola for help in the endeavor.